So this morning, I wanted to share a message essentially about, and I've entitled this, The Unexpected Gift. And it's just a message that, well, it just kind of helps us to understand the perspective of what Jesus was coming into and how that is such a great gift for us today. So if you will please stand with me as we read from our passage today, which is comes from Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Let us pray. Our Father, oh Lord, thank you so much for sending your Son for us. Father, as we come today to hear your message, Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds to hear it. And Father, the message that comes from me is your message. Make the words that come from my lips be your words. Father, if necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way, so that we may see your Son. We may see Jesus. For that is who we came to see today. And Father, you have told us where two or three are gathered in your name, you are with us. Father, we are more than two or three, and we are so wonderfully blessed to have you here today. Father, as we share this message, open our hearts to hear it. Write it upon them so that we may take it from here and share it with others. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as I was asking the kids today, you know, is there that one gift that you're really excited about getting? You know, that one gift that you were dying for Christmas? For me, it was. It was a bicycle. I was about 12 years old, and I just could not wait to get this bicycle. I'd been riding around on this little dirt bike that my mom had bought me when I was like 7 or 8. And don't get me wrong, it was a good bike. But the 10 speed that I was really hoping for, that was the bike I was so excited about. I really, really wanted this 10-speed. Because then I could ride with my friends, I could keep up with them. Because, you know, bigger kids and we were riding faster bikes. And at the time, 10-speeds were the bike to have. But for my kids, it was a different story. My oldest son, Mars, and my daughter, Alora, they wanted the Wii. I don't know if everybody remembers when the Wii first came out. It was this huge, you know, it was a great idea. Great concept, you know, cool little video gaming program console. And oh my gosh, it was all that the kids would talk about. You know, that when the Wii first came out, I remember as Christmas was coming out, and mind you, you know, this was years ago, but all my oldest would do was ask over and over again, "What are we getting for Christmas? What are we getting for Christmas?" Because he was hoping that I would say, "Oh, you're getting a Wii." You know, and at first I was telling him, "Don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about Christmas. Don't worry about what gifts you're getting. You'll get gifts, you know." And he kept pressing, and finally, Mitzi turns to him and she says, "You guys are getting Little Debbie snack cakes. That's what you're getting for Christmas. So don't worry about it. You're getting Little Debbie snack cakes. And that's all you're going to get." And I thought her answer was funny. So that was the answer for the rest of things leading up to Christmas. So every time Mars or Alora would go, "What are we getting for Christmas?" I'd tell them, "You're getting Little Debbie snack cakes." They started to get frustrated, but it didn't stop them from asking. So the thing you have to understand is me and Mitzi, we wanted to get them something special. We wanted to get them this Wii, so we did. We got them the Wii, but we wanted it to still be a surprise. And the suspense, of course, is killing Mars. And I saw an opportunity for what was probably one of my best prank gifts ever. Now, if I love prank gifts. I've done some pretty good ones in my time, but this one I still think takes, well, if you will, the Little Debbie snack cake. Christmas Eve, Mitzi and I, we got the Wii. We set it up, and then we hid it behind the TV so you couldn't see it. And then we kept our promise. We filled that Wii box with Little Debbie snack cakes. All sorts. We had the Swiss rolls, and we had the Nutty Buddies, and I think we even had some Cosmic Brownies in there. I mean, any Little Debbie snack cakes that we could get a hold of, they were stuffed into that box. I mean, it was filled to capacity. We wrapped the box up, and then we put it way back in the bottom of the tree and then covered it with all the other presents. And I could barely contain myself. That morning, the kids, you know, they each got up, and they're unwrapping gifts, and they unwrapped these Santa gifts, and ooh, Santa brought us Wii games. You know, they're all excited because they got Wii games. And Alora's, you know, she's super excited. She keeps telling Mars, they must have gotten us, there must be a Wii, because Santa wouldn't give us Wii games if we didn't get a Wii, you know. So the final gift, the best gift, way in the back, that we pull it out, and they just absolutely rip it to shreds. All the paper comes flying off, and you can hear the screams, we got a Wii, we got a Wii. I think back on that statement, that doesn't sound very good. Anyway, I tell them, okay, well, let's open it up. Let's get it hooked up. Let's get it out, right? When they open it, as soon as they open it, all these Little Debbie snack cakes start falling out. Mars looks at me, and if looks could kill, well, I wouldn't be preaching here today. I mean, that look on his face, I will never forget it. I wish I had been videotaping it. It was priceless. He was so angry. It was just the shot, the look of death. You know, often, that's the problem with a gift, though. We think we're getting what we want. But the reality is that it's not what we had built up in our minds. I think that as we go through our passage today, we'll see that many people were expecting something great, something big from the concept of Christmas. And what they got was something very different. Like my son was expecting the Wii, and I told him the truth. He knew exactly what he was getting. We told him they were getting Little Debbie snack cakes, and that's what he got. The Jews in Israel, they were expecting a Savior. And they had been waiting a very long time for this Savior to arrive. They were praying for the one who would come, the Messiah, the Christ. And to many, when they saw John the Baptist, they thought, that's our guy. That's him. That's the Messiah. And so the people of Israel, they were just flocking to him. They thought he was the one who would save them. They thought he's the one who's going to reclaim our freedom, and we need to place our trust in him. In verse 4, we can see, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the River Jordan. So all these people were coming out to him. And we might wonder, well, what's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with going out there. John was preaching a baptism of repentance. But it didn't provide the gift. It wasn't the gift of salvation. We can see that this baptism that John was giving was not, if you will, the baptism. It wasn't the right baptism. It wasn't the complete baptism. In Acts 19, we can read, it says, there he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. Indeed, even in our passage today, John the Baptist himself says, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. So what does all this mean? Well, it means that Israel was looking at the wrong guy. They were looking at the wrong gift. They were looking at this other guy, and they were expecting him to provide them with what they wanted. They were looking at that gift and thinking that that was the perfect gift, when in reality it still fell short. They were expecting him to provide them with what they wanted. Perhaps we need to understand a little bit of the context. See, for us to understand what Jerusalem was looking for, what the Israelites were looking for, we need to know that the Jews living in Jerusalem at this time, when they were expecting a Messiah, they were expecting a conquering king. They were expecting this man to come in and take over. They were expecting a David who would go out and fight for them. Someone who would restore that Davidic kingdom and the glory to Jerusalem. They were hoping that the Jews would be the rulers of the whole world, that they would no longer have to deal with all these Romans who were living in their country. They believed this because they were looking at what many of the prophets had said concerning the coming Messiah. They believed this because of perhaps what Joel said in 3:1, where it says, "In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance and my people, Israel." So they were expecting this big conquering hero that would come and free them, that would lead armies to destroy anyone who was against Israel. They were waiting for someone to make Israel the greatest nation on earth. And that's what they thought the gift of the Messiah would be. You know, it's interesting, we go back to Acts in verse 1:6. This is what Jesus said about it, though. Jesus said about the kingdom of Israel, "Then they gathered around him and asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates. The Father has set this by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So see, just like before when Israel had the wrong guy, now they were expecting the wrong gift. To them, the gift was the city of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Israel. So if those aren't the right gift, what is, right? Well, Mark tells us in verse 1 of our passage, who the right guy is. He writes, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." You see, Jesus is the right guy. And he's also the right gift. For what did he bring? What gift did he bring us? See, it was the unexpected gift that Israel really wasn't looking at. He brought the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was the right guy, and he was the right gift. He was the long-awaited and yet unexpected gift. For Jesus brought with him the forgiveness of sins, and he brought with him the gift of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist knew this. He even tried to tell others, for he said, "I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And there it is. The true gift of Christmas, the long-awaited gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. My son and my daughter, they had this expectation of this great and wonderful gift. They had it all built up in their mind. And that nothing else that Christmas would be the great gift for them. But here's the funniest thing of all. If you were to ask my son about that particular Christmas, he would tell you that opening the gift and finding all those little Debbie snack cakes was the best part of the whole Christmas. It was the way that we gave him the gift that was more important than getting that video game console in and of itself. And isn't that like us? Isn't that like the world? We expect what the gift will be, what we want it to be. We make the gift more important. We make the gift what we want it to be. We want Santa to bring us what we want, when the truth is the gift that we need is Jesus. We need that baby that was born in the manger. We need God with us, Emmanuel. We need the Holy Spirit living within us. We need the Savior of the world, not a stocking filled with candy. And why is that so important? Why is it so important that we hold on to the real gift, the gift of the Son of God, sent here to remove our sins by dying for us, so that He could give it to us? We could have a gift that is worth more than anything else in this world. So take that gift, hold it close, and treasure it. For it is the unexpected gift. It is the treasure that we treasure the most. The gift that lives on in our hearts and reminds us that our sins are forgiven. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for forgiving us the sins, for sending your Son to be that gift that, Lord, is more than just unexpected. It is the best gift of all. Father, help us to treasure that gift, to hold it close, Lord, to keep it with us always, and then, Lord, to write it upon our hearts and to share it with others so that, Lord, they may receive that same gift, that they may be able to hold it close and share it with others. Father, remind us that Christmas is about that gift, that perfect gift that was sent to remove the sins and the stains that we carry on us. Father, we love you and we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name, amen.